Let's go back for some people who are getting up to speed on the Bible Code and tell us how this happened, how you got involved with it, and what it originally pointed out to people.
Well, you know, it was a pure accident for me. I was in Israel working on a completely different story, meeting with the chief of Israeli military intelligence, and the young man leading me back to my car at Israeli military headquarters told me about a mathematician in Jerusalem who had discovered the date the Gulf War would begin in a code in the Bible. And I just started to get into my car with a simple answer: I'm not religious. And that would have been the end of it, but he held the door open and he said, I'm not either. But he found the exact date 3 weeks before the war began. And I would have dismissed it, but I checked out the mathematician, and he turned out to be one of the leading mathematicians in the world, the man who was the top expert in the field of math that underlies quantum physics.
So this guy was serious about what he did then, wasn't he?
More than serious. He's one of the smartest people on the planet. But it seemed purely impossible to me. As I said, I'm not religious. I hadn't looked at the Bible since I was perhaps 10 years old. And I couldn't imagine how the future could possibly be known. It had not yet happened. But I had a spare evening. I was intrigued that a man that esteemed in the world of science would be doing something like this. I assumed that in an hour, probably 15 minutes, I would figure out why he was deluded. And, you know, cynical investigative reporter goes to meet the genius. And instead, I ended up spending almost the entire week with him. It was an extraordinary experience. I asked him about things that he'd never looked for before in the code, and he found them time after time after time, including one event that had not yet happened, the election of Bill Clinton, still 6 months away. And there it was, Clinton with president. And 6 months later, that was the first prediction found in advance that came true.
And once the codes are deciphered, Michael, they clearly spell out these names, don't they?
Oh, absolutely. It's like a headline in the New York Times or the Washington Post. A report on CNN, but from 3,000 years ago. And as accurate and as detailed as a report in a major newspaper or television network, in fact, more accurate. And it's extraordinary. And
nope.
Please, George, go ahead.
Well, the mathematician, when he started breaking the codes down, what even got him to do that in the first place, Michael? I mean, yeah.
That was also an accident.
Yeah, I would say it's not like you wake up going, I'm going to look in the Bible and see if there's a code there. Something must have happened to him.
He's a deeply religious man. And he was attending a lecture by a rabbi who happened to mention, it wasn't the real subject of the lecture, happened to mention a code that a rabbi just before World War II in Czechoslovakia thought he had found in the Old Testament, the original Hebrew of the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. And at first it was something very simple. It was just the name Torah, the word in Hebrew for the first five books of the Bible, the words that God is said to have spoken to Moses on Mount Sinai, spelled out in the Bible with the same skip in every one of the first five books of the Bible. Hmm. And he thought that that was interesting, Rabbi Weissmandel, but he really couldn't take it further because he didn't have a computer. They didn't yet exist. And
without
Professor Ripps, being a great mathematician, decided to look into this. And at first he just did it counting letters by hand. But he saw immediately that there was a very clear pattern. And he decided to apply a computer to the job. And then he made the breakthrough. And he was awed by what he discovered.
Was he at a point scared also with what he discovered?
I don't think so. He's a man of tremendous courage, quiet courage, I would say. He's very humble. You would never guess in meeting with him that he's one of the world's great scientists. He doesn't carry himself that way. But I have never seen him frightened. He was a prisoner in the Gulag in the Soviet Union, in political prison, for 3 years because he protested the invasion of Czechoslovakia by the Soviets. It was the first satellite country to rise up and try to create a democracy, and they were brutally crushed. And he, as a young student in Moscow, stood up to protest this invasion. And so they put him in political prison, and a worldwide protest led by the chairman of the American Mathematical Society finally forced the Soviets to free him, and he emigrated to Israel.
And he's still alive today?
Oh, yeah, of course. He's a very good friend of mine. We speak at least once a week, and we meet often. He's the smartest, best human being I've encountered in my life.
That's fantastic.
And I do not know anyone who's met him who thinks otherwise.
Well, that tells you volumes right there. Let's review a little bit about some of those predictions that you outlined in the Bible Code and Bible Code 2 before we get into Bible Code 3, which are pretty riveting. But because we can look back at the most of those predictions in Bible Code and Bible Code 2, point out to us some of the things, and especially the remarkable story about the late Israeli Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin.
Well, I actually found a code in the Bible purely by accident, again, a series of accidents. I was just looking for the names of world leaders to see if they were encoded in the Bible. And one of the names I looked for, among many, was Yitzhak Rabin. He was then the Prime Minister of Israel. His name only appeared one time in the code, and crossing it in perfect Hebrew, in the original words of the Bible, it stated, assassin will assassinate.
Jeez.
The only time that appeared. The odds against that happening by chance were phenomenal.
Absolutely. And how soon before the actual event where he
more
was assassinated?
More than a year.
Okay.